systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ Podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ Podcast. It's the Pat and AJ
Podcast. I guess we got a blue past it fast. It's been 4 years since we left the terrestrial broadcast world.
It has.
We got let go at the last day of November 2020. And,
it was the Monday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we moved on from there, right? Doing the podcasting. AJ's doing her gig. I do my gig now. And it's funny, now that we're about 4 years past that, you get asked this question a lot when people find out that you have a podcast. Because, if we would have stayed in, let's say, mid-Michigan, where we last worked on the old FM dial,
yeah,
in Flint and the surrounding area, or if even we would have moved somewhere back to Wisconsin, right? People would see us and they go, "Oh, I think I remember you from like a bus or something." And
we were on the side of a bus once. That was so cool.
That was a little strange when
it was weird. I wouldn't do it again.
See yourself going past on a bus. But, if you were to see someone there and then they go, "What are you doing these days?" You're like, "Oh, I do X, Y, and Z. We got this podcast thing too." They go, "Oh, okay, that makes sense. You have a podcast." Now that we're like officially divorced from the FM world and we're in a place of the country where nobody knows us, right?
Yeah.
We have no ties to nothing. And you meet people out there in the wild doing whatever it is you do. People you go, "Oh, I do X, Y, and Z. I got this little podcast." And they go, "Oh, you have a podcast."
Yeah, very excited.
"Well, what's your podcast about?" And it's weird now because podcasts,
there's so many of
them. Back when we worked in the world, the radio guys were the popular ones. The podcasts were the nobodies. Now the podcasts are the superstars.
And the radio people are the nobodies.
So people look at you like, "Oh, you're a podcaster."
And it's weird.
Tell
too.
Me about when you had Elon Musk on your show.
Yeah, right. Like, not that kind of podcaster.
We don't do that. "Oh, tell me when you had Dak Shepard on." No, we don't do that either.
Doesn't Dak Shepard have his own podcast?
Do you do true crime? Is that it then? No, we don't do true crime. And that's when it finally hit me where I told AJ, I go, "You really just got to tell people, listen, it's a podcast for people who used to listen to a radio show who may want to still listen to that radio show, even though it still doesn't exist."
I think we should go with the Seinfeld angle. It's a podcast about nothing.
Nothing, yeah. There's a lot of those out there.
I know. It's weird because I don't bring up the podcast. I'm like, people who know about it, listen. People who don't, that's fine. But I don't bring it up, but people will bring it up to me after I've mentioned it once.
Yeah.
They'll be like, "Oh, but tell me about the podcast."
Tell me about it.
And I forget. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, the podcast."
What's it about?
Yeah.
It's about mental health. No, it is. I mean, and that's true shit. I mean, for better or for worse, the whole podcast ecosystem, monster, whatever it is, has changed a lot of rules, man.
Yeah.
And there is not a lot of barriers to jump through to get your voice out there, which could be a good or bad thing, by the way.
I mean, I'm going to be really honest. I think there are too many people with voices now because a lot of the podcasts are really bad.
This is the problem. And you listen to me, freaking high school seniors, all right, and college freshmen, because now every place has a podcast studio. We're going to talk about that later, too.
Yeah.
About you colleges. You may do some kind of silly podcast right now. And you may try to say some witty shit. And by the way, when most people think witty, they think kind of shocking.
Yeah.
And this shit is all archived now.
Yeah.
And it's going to be 20 years down the line.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be applying for a job. Let me use someone who's a great example. Who's the guy who was supposed to host Jeopardy? Yeah, you don't know who he is because he had the job for a week and then they found out that he was on a podcast a few years back where he made a real kind of just racy, maybe sexist, racist joke, whatever it was. And they said, "Guess what? That's not the image for Jeopardy."
No.
Bye. And since then, we've just had it's just a rotating cabal of people.
just right? Listen, like, there are so few people that are going to head up the podcast world, and most of them will be celebrities. They will.
And they'll dominate.
Yeah, celebrities dominate the podcast world right now. You can be the best podcaster in the world, but you still won't beat, like you said, you know, John Krasinski or Dax.
Well, yeah, I mean, just through the nature of most of them are charming people or they have great connections. I've always said the ones who really took it over, and I think it's true because you think of the patron saint of podcasting, and obviously it's Joe Rogan. It's all the comedians.
Yeah, the comedians, because this is what they do. They talk and they're funny and they're good at it.
Like I mean, all of us have heard those stories about, you know, these famous comedy clubs where the comics all kind of convene at the bar.
Yeah.
And it turns into these like sessions of whether they're working material or whatever. But like basically now they just do that as a podcast and then they get to promote where they're going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you listen to their podcast and then you go, I'm going to go see this guy when he comes to Wausau, Wisconsin.
And I will already take back what I said about famous people, because you're right, most of them are comedians.
Yeah.
They're comedic actors.
Yeah.
I'll tell you though, who doesn't have a good podcast, and I don't know
who's got a shitty one.
Do you remember those two Good Morning America people that got fired because they were fucking?
Yes, and I don't remember their names.
It's Amy Roebuck and something.
Yeah, I remember both their marriages.
They were having an affair, and then they went and started this podcast. And I remember when they started it this time last year, it was a big deal because everybody wanted to hear them talk together in that light now that they can admit they're a couple. If you listen to it now,
is it not good?
It is the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. They're not entertaining.
You know,
they're not funny. It's obnoxious and they're famous, but I'm like, but it's not a good podcast. It's not. So listen, most people will not be the next big thing in podcasting, and that's okay. Do it because you love it. Don't do it to make money. Yeah.
Just don't say any dumb shit. I'm telling you, don't say any dumb shit because you're trying to be entertaining, because that is archived somewhere. And one day, because trust me, AI is only getting better, you're going to apply for a job and they're going to instantaneously be able to run your shit through like the world Google network. And they'll be like, here's all the dumb shit this person has done.
Yeah.
Do we want to entertain them for a job? Hey, everyone. Welcome on into the podcast about nothing. We're sitting here doing our 260th episode.
Damn.
4 years out the game and 260 episodes into the podcast universe.
I was super social today. I went out to lunch with the ladies from the dog park.
Oh, Jesus. Of course. Lunch. Where does AJ find friends?
The dog park. But they were all asking about the podcast, so it was...
Oh, again, you got the question, too.
Yeah.
There you go. What's
like,
it about?
I think I brought it up once with them, and there then all of a sudden today, they're like, "What? You know, where can I find your podcast again?" And I was like, oh, shit, I forgot.
It's everywhere.
But it was weird trying to explain to them. Like, I think mostly people who listen to us on the radio before are the ones who listen. Yeah, we have a couple...
I would love to hear, and you have to be... If there's anyone listening who is either A, never heard us on the radio, or B, is not related to us.
Yeah.
Because I know I got some nephews and people.
Tons of family,
like, they'll tune in. But if you're really someone who legitimately found this thing and you're like, I don't know, I just kind of like the cut of their jib, just like somehow get a hold of us. Like go on the gram, the Facebook.
Yeah, if you're a newbie from like just the podcast.
I don't care. Yeah, like if you're someone who legitimately only listened to us on the podcast, I would love
to
know who you are.
Oh shit, these two used to do a radio show. Like that's surprising to you. That's who we're looking
for. You're like,
for.
What? Hold on. They played Garth Brooks on the radio? Hold on. And they played Drake on the radio?
What?
Hold on. And they played Adele on the radio?
Bing Crosby too.
We did. Oh fuck! Can I tell you?
We'd be playing Christmas music right now. And as much as we hated it, we secretly loved it too.
I was gonna say, you know, I was talking. We are, by the way, full blown Christmas around the house. Shout out to everyone who is grieving this Christmas season. I say that because my wife is someone who's grieving this Christmas season.
I am so forcing myself to get into this, like, and I mean forcing. Like, I decorated the house when I had norovirus just because I was so depressed about norovirus. I'm still grieving the death of my dad. I'm like, if you don't put up lights now, this is going to be the worst Christmas ever. I was on a ladder when I thought I was going to throw up, but I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, we are full blown. I mean, outside the cactus, they are all decorated.
We do decorate cacti down here.
I mean, inside the house is thrown up Christmas. We've even watched some like Christmas movies.
You see, Pat is pretty much, anytime he turns on a movie now, it's a Christmas movie. So he's on top of that.
You only have like 3 to 4 weeks to fit him in.
Well, that's my thing. It's such a short amount of time.
I'm not saying that you can't watch A Christmas Story in April, but I'm just not quite sure if it hits the same as it does now. So I just figure if you're going to do it, it's kind of like October, where like my wife, she watches bad horror films 24/7.
Yeah, Halloween is my jam.
365. So. Normal people like me, maybe in October you go, you know what? Since Hulu put up Huluween, why don't we rip through all these Jason movies? It's October. So that's my thing is, yeah, I am definitely going to Christmas movies. By the way, what are we watching? A Christmas Story.
Oh God.
I mean, we've
Pat's
danced around
guy,
it.
Pat's that guy that can watch it on the 24-hour loop, and I just cannot. I'm a Christmas Vacation gal. I'm sorry. And even that, I don't think I could watch in a 24-hour loop. But no, with Halloween, you still have a little bit extra. Like, if you decorate for Halloween at, like, the end of September, it's okay. With Christmas, most people really don't start decorating till Thanksgiving. This year, people seem to do it earlier because of the election, and it put everybody in such a bad mood that I saw Christmas trees going up in mid-November. But normally, you know,
it's because the war on Christmas is over, folks.
Was there a war on Christmas?
Yeah,
I missed
Jesus,
that.
Fucking Jesus won, man. Jesus obviously. Won. Come on, man.
Yeah, so I was out with the ladies at Kwanzaa. The dog park today, and I was telling them about. We had our Irish dance school's Christmas party on Tuesday night.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody wears ugly sweaters, whether there's a contest or not. Last year, because those ugly sweaters can be expensive because they're so stupidly overblown.
You know, isn't that funny how the ugly Christmas sweater thing, as it came into vogue over, I'll say the last 20 years, that makes me fucking feel old, but it really has. It's gone from, you could dig into grandpa's closet, go to a local thrift store. Into, of course, business figuring out, oh, we can now manufacture new ugly Christmas sweaters. And trust me, there are a few in this house. We have bought them. We know the good brands from the bad brands.
We bought.
Hey, I have a master's degree. I can be president one day. It's now an industry. So I get it. It's not as cool. Not saying it's not cool, but it's not like as cool if you show up with like one that's like, I have one that's a Home Alone one. And it's cool, but it's also like, well, you bought it like
it's
that.
It's not an actual, it's not your grandpa sweater.
Exactly.
And the thing is too, like grandpa sweaters now are in vogue. Like,
you can't get them.
You can't get them. And that's the thing. People started buying them from thrift stores and they were just gone forever. So these companies started making them. I think I spent $50 on that Home Alone sweater for you?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Well-made one, you will pay $50 or more.
I remember I did not like the price on it.
No.
I remember when you told me, I'm like, how much? I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but it's funny.
I mean, it's cool, a great one, but.
And really, you wear it every year, so it gets used.
It gets mileage, just like the movies get mileage during the month.
Yes, exactly.
You're not wearing that shit in January.
No.
Not wearing it in February, but I will bust it out in December. But yeah, we are.
I've run through all of my ugly Christmas sweaters for years now, because our old company used to have a Christmas party every year. Mm. So, and that was something really, I'd never worked for a company that did that. So I had all these ugly sweaters that I've just kept recycling, and I got bored with it. And I said, I want to make my own. Now, I don't know why. This is my biggest caveat with them. They're really just ugly Christmas sweatshirts, but they call them sweaters.
Actually knitted sweaters.
Yes, because to be honest, the knitted sweaters are the ones that cost you $50. Your Home Alone one is
knitted sweater. So like right now, I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
That's a sweatshirt.
But yeah, I get that. Yeah.
The sweatshirts are, you know, they're cheaper and easier to make. But I decided to make one this year for our Christmas party. And it's something I actually started last Christmas, but I ran out of time to do. So I had everything saved this year. And I'm like, oh shit, you've got time this year. You can do it. I made an ugly Christmas sweatshirt with my dance teacher's face on it. There you go. His name is Darren. And it said, have a very Darren Christmas. And
which is funny because there's not even like a pun there, right? It's just like have a Darren Christmas.
Well, no. So my friend Pat at Dan's, I asked her for the slogan because I'm like, I'm just not feeling creative. I'm like, tell me what I should put on the sweater. She said there's like some song or album I'll have to look it up. I don't have my phone with me. Something about like having a daring Christmas.
I mean, unless that's some like UK slang that I'm not aware of.
I don't know, but there's something.
I know it's a big holiday over there.
There's something over with the whole thing.
By the way, we should also say, as most of these adventures are sponsored by, you already know, thank you, Cricket, for sponsoring this version.
I am obsessed with my Cricket. I think I might need a new blade.
Remember, this all started back when we went to Disneyland.
It was 2021,
I guess. Listen, guys, I'm going to make us all shirts for Disneyland. Yeah. And now this has turned into you're making your own ugly Christmas sweaters. But hold on, you can't just do that with a Cricket because, I mean, like you said, you're not staying true to the jazz of it being an ugly Christmas.
Well, no,
sweater.
So you can because you make it. There are ugly. They're called SVGs. Those are the best images to use for a Cricket design. There are SVGs and fonts that look like they'd be knitted onto an ugly sweater, which is what I use.
Little optical illusion.
Yeah, and then you put like obnoxious like poofy balls and Christmas stuff on
it. She had a fucking glue gun out, guys. Like this is a full blown Etsy store. This is like
I burned the shit out of my finger.
Of course you did.
I need to get gloves. So I made this sweater just to be funny because I really, that's my motto. I love to make people laugh because it just makes me happy. And I knew the sweater would make people laugh and it did. I posted it to Facebook and tagged my dance teacher in it. I had requests for these coming in within probably about 4 hours of the Christmas party. And then
when you put them up on the Etsy shop, right?
So you're not the only one that says that. Everybody's like, when are you going to start your own Etsy shop? I love these, what comes out of the Cricket. I love making these shirts. I hate the process of making them. Dang. It's not enjoyable for me. I despise the designing. I despise the what do they call it?
So you're like the guy that like cuts his, mows his own lawn, but he really fucking hates mowing his lawn.
100%.
And then there's a guy who mows his lawn and he loves mowing that lawn. He trims it, he edges it, he fertilizes it. He does all, he gets down there and fucking feels it, man. Basically child labor. You are the same labor force that puts together iPhones in China for us.
I love the outcome. I hate the process.
You're very reluctant in this whole process.
I hate the weeding. I hate the iron on. I hate it. But everybody, like I've had so many requests for these sweatshirts that they're like, you should open your own Etsy store. I don't think I'd make enough money to enjoy doing this. Like you couldn't pay me enough for me to, you make like $20 a shirt, you know, and that's overcharged. Then you got to overcharge. First of all, I'd feel bad overcharging. Second of all, $20 is not.
Overcharging. That's called your markup.
That's called capitalism. I know.
Listen, my little hippie mama. She's like, well, why would I charge more than what I paid for it? I don't understand.
I know. It's stupid. So I get a call from my dance teacher who left because he's from the UK. He left for London the day, like the morning after the Christmas party. And he called and said, well, my family loves the sweatshirts. Can you make me 4 of them and ship them to London? See, I'll pay you.
You have an order now. So now's when you need a labor force. Now's when you need to get some young children who are looking for work experience.
I mean, today I did feel like I had my own Etsy store. It was like an assembly line of shirts. Like it was just one after the other, gluing all this stuff. It was ridiculous. When like I got done with them, there were 5 of them. And I'm like, holy, this is a lot of shit. Like this is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
But I mean, I was able to do it in about 24 hours. So that's not bad. But still, I just feel like Etsy, like everything else is so oversaturated now. Everybody's got an Etsy store.
True story.
And there are so many bitches with Cricket Etsy stores. They will make all these shirts for you. You don't need another one of me.
Oh, listen, Etsy is nothing more than, it's now kind of like it's like an arts and crafts fair. We all remember those in the old gyms at the high school. It's an arts
holiday craft fair.
Yeah, it's a craft fair, but it's been comboed with like a swap meet.
Yeah.
So you can find some legitimate, like crafty art stuff on there. And then you're just going to find dudes who bought a whole lot of things off of Temu.
Yes.
And they're just going to price that shit up and be like, it's a hippie blanket. Buy it now.
You would hate this, by the way. And this is a word of advice to all the Cricket mamas out there who, you know, make personalized shirts for every family
photo.
Like how
you assume there's no Cricket fathers out there. You see that once again. Once again. They're after us, men. You hear it? They're after us.
You guys wouldn't be able to do this. I'm sorry. You wouldn't have the patience to do this.
If you're a guy using the Cricut, shout out. Shout out to you.
All these Cricut mamas have how-to videos.
Yeah.
Except they're all like 17 minutes long.
Well, yeah, because no one's a professional video caster.
No, and this is my word of advice. Stop with that shit. You can edit it. You can edit out all the little parts. Stop talking in these videos. Like they go through the whole process in real time and just talk over everything. We don't need that. It's a how-to. I don't give a shit if you like that image over this image. Just show us how to do it. You can do this in like 3 minutes. You really can.
I follow tons of comedy troops and you know they post all their shit on Instagram and stuff. And there was one and it some kind of improv group, and they're doing a skit out there about what it would be like if people answered you in real life for directions, how people present directions on YouTube. So it's, and it shows like a guy walking up and he goes, hey, excuse me, do you know where the ketchup is? And the person goes, well, yeah. Hi, I'm Barbara, by the way. And I can't wait to show you where the ketchup is today. I remember the first time that I tasted ketchup. It was years ago. You right? And it's so true because all you want to say is, the ketchup is right there.
Yeah.
That's it. And I know when you're going on there, like, how do I do X, Y, or Z? And
when you want a how-to video, you want it to fly.
Get to it.
They'll show you, like, how they're editing the images for their stuff or how, you know, they pick each image. You don't need that shit. And I don't need to see the Cricut cutting the vinyl, okay? We can all watch that on our own. You can cut that part out, too. If I want a how-to, it needs to be less than 16 minutes. I don't care about your Cricut experience. I'm not trying to be rude, but stop it. Right. It's ridiculous.
I don't know, folks. I think she's going to have to figure out an Etsy store or something because I don't think this, what'd you call yourself? A Cricut mama?
I'm not a Cricut mama.
Cricut mama?
Those are the ones on Etsy.
Yeah, I don't think this Cricut mama over here is going to quite know what to do when our son goes to college.
Maybe that's when I open the Etsy store.
You know, I know we had a big break there because of norovirus and Thanksgiving and everything, but for people who have been fans of the terrestrial radio show and have listened to us since our kid
was two.
Oh boy. Yeah. It was 2008 when we signed on. 2008 to 2020. Not a bad run for a radio show.
Shit, he was only a year and a half actually.
Yeah. He was young. Our son turned 18. A couple weeks back there. He's 18. He's a senior in high school. Of course, he's reminded me now he's an adult. And I go, well, that just means that it goes from it being an assault to being an assault domestic violence.
Yes.
Because now we're just people that go.
You guys beat each other up.
Yeah, we beat each other up. So our son is 18, and he is looking ahead to a future locally here at the University of Arizona. I believe last podcast we quickly talked about how we did like this, college tour day. I think anyone who's done a higher education, you probably showed up and got a tour. And this is one of those bigger events where they had all types of different booths set up and you could really talk to everybody about everything.
It was not as overwhelmingly large as I thought it would be, which was good. It was like comfortable, but there were still, you know, the ballroom was full.
So our son has hit us with this insano curveball. It's not that insane, I suppose.
It is insane. And let me tell you how this came about. So we have always just assumed he would live at home and go to school. But we also said, hey, dude, you know, your college schedule is not the same as high school. There's not like a start point and an end point during the day.
You kind of piece together your classes.
You have to go when your classes are, and that doesn't always, you might have one class a day, you might have two. You might have three. I did that. Don't do that.
See,
that
I'm trying
was
to
bad.
Think to mine.
I did that.
I never did. Are you ready for this? I never did Monday or Friday classes.
There's a lot of people like that. Yeah.
And then I did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And usually
you just packed it in.
And usually one of those 2 days was like a long one. Like
that's, and
one
that's,
would be like a 11 a.m. to like maybe 8 p.m.
I packed my classes in for, I think, 3 years on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And it was
nice
because I was paying for school myself. That way I could work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and make the money to pay for school. It was a nightmare. And in hindsight, I'm proud of myself, but I'm also like, you were crazy. But, you know, we always just assumed he would live at home. But we also said, you know, we can't just drop you off and come pick you up. You know, you have to be able to drive to campus.
There have been talks because where we live in a north eastern burb of Tucson. And Tucson is kind of a two-road town. We're not a big metropolitan in the sense of highways and byways.
We don't have highways like in the middle of the town taking you from one end to the other. There is one highway that goes from Phoenix to Tucson, and that's all we have. And then you get off in Tucson and just drive around the side roads.
Yeah. So our kiddo, it's about a 45-minute haul from where we are.
No, it's 30. It's 30 on the head.
Yeah, but just give yourself 15 for parking and like...
And all the crazy-ass people. That's true.
So... You know, there's been a small conversation about, okay, how would we get you there? And because he's just learning how to drive, not like he has a car anyways. And then out of nowhere.
So this is, and if you're a parent, you'll totally understand this.
Yeah.
He was having a meeting with one of the centers at the University of Arizona, a digital meeting. And of course, being a mom, I was like hanging out. And eventually he's like, you can leave.
Well, I thought you would be a part of it, man. You got to stop letting him boss you around.
Well, no, but he was, I wanted him to engage on his own. And he wanted, she kept saying, do you have any questions? And he kept saying no. And I'm like, I bet if I wasn't here, he'd ask questions. So I left the room. I came back in about a half hour later when they were wrapping it up. And he was asking questions.
Yeah.
About on-campus housing.
Yeah, about dorms. That's what he's asking.
I was like thrown up against a wall. It was like a cartoon. I was floored. I couldn't, I'm like, what? This is a thing now? This is a thing? Okay, so we're talking about on-campus housing.
So not only does this pop in this little Zoom thing he had here at the house with a college advisor, but when we show up in person to this big wildcat experience, and we're choosing, you know, our day. What are we going to look at? Different, you know, schools of this. And there is a little section in there for dorms and food programs. Because if you live in dorms, you got to have food programs. And our kid goes, hey, we should make sure that we check that out. Okay. Okay. So here's where I'm like, okay, I'm like, all right. We go, we check it out.
He hasn't been accepted yet, by the way. That's still caveat. Yeah,
he's applying. He's in the process of
writing
all
his
this.
Essay and stuff.
But, you know, they were telling us, like, hey, here's the deal with the housing and blah, blah, blah. And there are some singles. Apparently, this kid has, like, you know, some kind of pipe dream of getting a single dorm. But we went on tours, and they showed him a regular two-person dorm, which, again, if you've ever done some prison time... I ain't fucking around. If you've ever sat in a county jail and you got to sit in a cell, it's not far off a college dorm. You know, I mean, you get a few more electronics in the college dorm.
You get like zero time to know the person, and all of a sudden you're stuck living with them.
Yeah, and I mean, at least in the jail, you have a shitter in your little dorm.
Yeah, no, this is a shared bathroom.
It's a shared bathroom. So our kid is really interested in it. And, you know, out of nowhere, it's like something that I guess this is maybe myself and AJ being, I don't know, heads in the sand. We never, like, I don't know. It's fucking weird when your kid gets diagnosed on the spectrum. Yeah. Like, you go through all these emotions and you're like, I don't know. So what does this mean for them?
Yeah, one of the first things we asked was, will he able to, like, function as an adult?
Yeah,
because
right?
Because we were just so in the dark about what it meant and what like his diagnosis was.
Yeah, you have, like, a four-year-old, and all of a sudden they're telling you these things. And by the way, my dad went through the same thing with my half-sister. She was the first case of diagnosed autism in her county in 1982 in Iowa. And literally, you know, after my dad traced down a diagnosis through the Mayo Clinic, shout out Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. But he was told at that time, well, you probably should find a good, like, living situation for her to eventually live in.
Yeah.
By the way, my little sister not only graduated normal mainline school, high school, she went on to join the U.S. Army. She served in the War on Terror, right? She got back from the War on Terror, got discharged from the Army.
She moved across the country herself.
When she discharged, she said, fuck Iowa. You know, that's easy to do.
She went to Connecticut.
She went to Connecticut. And she ended up becoming a funeral director. Yeah. She went to school for that. She's now a licensed funeral director back in Iowa. She's in the big city of Des Moines.
Living by herself. I mean, she's a functioning adult.
She's in one of these really cool new apartment buildings, by the way, all you young people have, where there's like, you don't just live there. You like hang out there.
Yeah, it's like a community thing.
I feel like any parent, and maybe it goes for a lot of different diagnoses. You just kind of think, what does that mean for my kid and their future? And so myself and AJ, I don't think we ever crossed the bridge of him transitioning out of the house. And obviously going to the dorms isn't like you're fucking leaving the house.
No, but I mean, he's also not ready for like an apartment.
Yeah, no, in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But so it's like this step. And I mean, don't get me wrong. They did a good sell job at the college. You know, it was like, hey, did you know college freshmen that stay in the dorms have a 10% higher GPA? I could probably see that.
As somebody who never lived on campus, I mean, I did live on my own in an apartment, but as somebody who didn't live on campus, I get that. I mean, you are immersed. And for
it's like a immersion program.
Yeah, exactly. You are immersed in your college. You're immersed in your. You're there for school. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's your existence.
Yeah,
right?
And I mean, even his advisors at school and stuff like that. We just had, by the way, his last IEP meeting. And
I mean,
like last, as in he doesn't need one anymore.
I thought they just kicked him out because he's 18.
No,
I thought it was like everything else in our country. We really care about you until you're 18, and then we don't give a fuck until you're old. You're old, we kind of give a shit
again. I'd say it's debatable that we care about kids till they're 18.
but hold on. No. He did not age out of this program. He no longer needs it. He was able to literally grow his coping skills and grow his educational needs to the point where they go, guess what? You do not need an individual education program.
They told us that in second grade, his social worker at his elementary school in Michigan, I remember her saying, he will not need an IEP forever.
Yeah.
And so when this happened, that moment just popped back in my head. But we had, his last IEP meeting, and I kind of mentioned, like, it was funny, too, because he's 18. They were like, is he here? And I'm like, no, he didn't want to come. And they're like, oh, he kind of has to be here because he's 18, but I'll have him sign some papers. Yeah.
It's called a consent form.
I know,
he has to have a release of information.
I know.
You may be his mom, but you are not his guardian.
But in this IEP meeting, we talked about, I said he really kind of wants to live on campus and at least for the first year. And everybody was like, yeah, that's not a bad idea. It's for at least for almost all kids.
They all doubled down.
Yeah,
they
were like, yeah, that makes sense. Because there's also a great community college here we were looking at, but they don't offer on-campus housing. Yeah. And I said, I didn't care where he went. But now if he wants to live on campus, which I think could be really good for him, that's the option we have to go with as the bigger university. It is weird. I said it out loud. I said, if he lives on campus, 1 year from now, we'll be empty nesters.
Say it with me now.
Get out of here.
Say it with me now.
What is that?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, that started listening to us at WIZM-FM La Crosse. Along the mighty Mississippi, that little 18-month-old that used to waddle around, we are now talking about him waddling around a dorm because he won't be in our house. It's funny because as we were doing the big campus tour and, you get walked around, it really is a beautiful campus.
It's gorgeous.
University of Arizona is just, it's one of those, been around since like 1885.
And it shows.
Tons of history. Yeah. But he looked at me. And my son said very slyly, he goes, I could come home on like Saturdays.
Oh, yes, of course. I will be there after your last class on Friday to pick you up.
And I was, and I kind of looked at him and I said, well, yeah, I said, obviously being local, I said, some kids who are coming here, maybe they're from California or they're from Idaho.
They can't go home on weekends.
Yeah, like they're just there. But I go, yeah, you're local. And I said, yeah, you could. And he goes, yeah, yeah. Which was funny because that's like a little bit of the, cord is still connected, right? It's not totally severed. We can come home on the weekends, which by the way, I wonder if all this goes through, how long does that keep up? How long does he go, yeah, I want to come home on the weekends.
Yeah, and then he gets invited to a campus party on a Saturday night.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's like, Mom, I'm not coming home this weekend, and I lose my shit.
Or there's just like an immersive, there's an event going on campus, or there's studying you have to do. Yeah. And what's it like when he goes, yeah, no, I'm going to stay home. Yeah, I'm going to be.
But but I miss you.
It's weird though to see Abby. I can see AJ like the little wheels in the head. And listen, I'm with you. I never crossed this bridge. Never did. I honestly was like, I don't know, man. I was already fucking planning on buying a house with a casita because I just figured my kids
is gonna live here forever.
Gonna be here forever. And listen, this is just, you know, dorm life, right? Yeah. I mean, you go to school, you come home. You know, I don't know what's gonna happen after that.
I know, and this could be just a first year thing. This could expand into his entire college career. I don't know. I want to support him getting out there on his own.
I think it's really cool. I mean,
that he came up with that on his own. Never once did he mention it to us before. No. I heard him asking the advisor.
Know what I think it is? I think he has watched enough examples of college life in media, right? And I'm talking even juvenile things from like Monsters University. The Disney Pixar movie.
That was a great example for kids.
But I think there's a lot of examples out there where the college experience is kind of wrapped up with living on campus. And maybe that's where he got it. But I'm beyond proud of him that he's even contemplating
it. Totally.
I did the same thing. Now, see, I went to college much differently on a city campus. And like my son was asking me, he goes, what was your school like? I go, well, we were a city campus. So we were downtown Chicago. And it was just kind of like four blocks where you could feel our presence. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't like, you know, a campus per se.
The University of Arizona is kind of like that too. I mean, it's a legit campus, but it's right next to downtown.
I mean, it is in the middle, it's a carved out. Yeah, it looks like Central Park in New York City.
Yes.
Where, you know, if you look at that from above, you have Central Park in the middle of this huge metropolis, and that's how it is with Tucson. There's this downtown Tucson area, and then there's this huge carve-out of so many square miles that is the University of Arizona, where everyone just exists. But I don't know if that got in his ear about, you know, that's what it's supposed to be. But, you know, I didn't do that experience. Not that it wasn't available. There were dorms available for my little bougie liberal arts college in Chicago, Columbia College Chicago, shout out. And I saw them once, and you won't, of course, art college. They were like brick lofts.
Oh my god!
Like I had friends who lived in the dorms, and it was like three or four dudes.
That's not a dorm.
And they were gorgeous. And I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. Then I dated a gal, and she goes, hey, my cousin's going to Southern Illinois University.
Yeah.
Do you want to go down there for a weekend? We can party with him. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. We go down there. We pick him up at his dorm.
You saw what a real dorm looks like.
Cook County motherfucking jail. I sat there and I said, this is how they fucking housed us when I was in goddamn jail.
Trust me, I helped move my sister into the dorms at Marquette University. Yeah, it was Milwaukee.
Hold on.
It was awful, and there was no air conditioning. It was like the middle of August. I literally was not jealous of her at all.
And hold on, for people who know Milwaukee and for people who know
Marquette is also a downtown campus.
I say that's another one where it's a city campus. Yeah. You feel Marquette University, but you're not technically like in Marquette University land. Can you describe the building? This is a famous building that AJ and her family busted their hump moving her sister into.
Oh, it is like this.
What's it called?
I forgot.
Is it called the Barrel?
The Barrel. Yeah. Well, that's the nickname. That's what I thought
it was. Yeah, the Barrel.
It's a gigantic circular building in the middle of campus that's all dorms, but it is, I don't know if you've ever been in one of those circular buildings. It is just the weirdest. It feels weird.
I feel like they look and feel cooler from the outside.
Absolutely. They are, and Milwaukee has a ton of those buildings. Inside, not as glamorous. They look cool outside. But yeah, we moved her in, and I had already been in college for 2 years. So like, but I was living at home because I was paying for college myself. So living on campus was never an option. I'm like, I can't take on that extra debt. Mm-hmm. Unbeknownst to me, my sister was getting help with school so she could live on campus. But we moved her in to this building, and it, you know, it's move-in day, which is supposed to be really exciting.
Oh, it's chaos.
It's the worst thing I've ever experienced. Yeah. Like there was like two elevators for I don't know how many hundreds of kids moving into these dorms.
Yeah.
And again, mid-August in Wisconsin is like a bathtub. It is the most hot, humid, awful environment. And I remember as we were moving her in, like we had to take the stairs a few times because you just couldn't wait for an elevator. And I just got this feeling. I was like, I don't know if she's going to last here. Yeah. And she didn't. And that's fine. But, and she had a
how long she last?
Oh gosh, maybe 4 months.
Oh, there you
she go. Had a terrible roommate who I did meet.
Did she make it past Thanksgiving?
No.
No.
I think that was a run around she came back, but she did have a terrible roommate. I can confirm that.
So she had a low, so your sister had the same thing essentially set up that our son would have, which yeah. is, did she come home on the weekends when she was at the dorm? Probably, right?
Sometimes. She did try to be social down there, okay. but, you know, it's just not really her thing.
She is not that person.
No.
I am shocked that she even, I mean, I
she
know
tried it.
I know your sister's personality and ethos, and yeah, communal living is not her fucking jam.
She came back home, and I was kind of like, I wasn't surprised when
I mean,
she did.
Supposedly our kid, and don't get me wrong, they did talk about how there's, you know, single dorms available, not a lot. They also do have a certain amount set aside for medical reasons, which we don't know if our son, you know, would qualify with his autism spectrum diagnosis.
Well, I did ask about that. I said, you know, is there anything that can match him with somebody that, you know, will coincide with his ASD? Like, I don't want them just throw, like my sister, they just threw her in there with this chicken. It was the worst match ever.
They were given this whole thing. It was kind of, oh yeah, you went at that. Yeah, you had to leave. But they did a whole little speech about how they have almost like a match.com.
Oh, I love that.
And they're like, you can either, A, you can present someone you want a room with. They're like, oh, maybe you find out that your old best friend from kindergarten is going to be coming here and you guys want to be together. You can submit. They're like, or you can go into this match.com where you literally like flip through people and everyone kind of answers the same basic questions, which I believe is about kind of when you like to wake up, when you like to go to sleep. You know, what?
That's really important.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Listen, if you're going to have two night owls, you need to have two night owls. Yeah. You can't have a night owl and then the other side trying to go to bed at like 10 p.m.
That's been in like every college movie in history.
Exactly.
Is the studious roommate that is going to bed at a regular hour and then their drunk ass roommate that wanders in with a guy at 3 a.m., you know?
So they said you can kind of do that with the match.com. Or they said if you just want to play Russian roulette, they said they can kind of auto match you. But same thing, it's based off kind of the answers that you gave. So I guess there's less just throwing people together. There's still going to be, I assume no matter how much you screen people.
There will always be a conflict.
I mean, it's just like the real match.com. You can screen people all you want. You're still going to put people on a date and they're going to be like, I don't like you. I don't like you. So I don't know, but it's
weird.
It's interesting. I mean,
he was all convinced we were going to like clean out his bedroom and like make it into something else.
I'm
going to
Airbnb it out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going
to
do.
I was like, no, it's going to stay the same and you're going to come home to the same bedroom on the weekends. Now, when you move out permanently, we'll have that discussion.
Right.
But it is weird times.
Life comes at you fast. For all those listeners who were with us in all those years, you heard us talk about the strifes of the parenting or navigating life with a child. With a neurodivergency.
Or just a young child. I mean, I have a couple of friends at dance that are parents of like toddlers going into kindergarten and like I can see it on their face. They talk about it a lot.
Oh yeah.
And I see myself, you know, 16 years ago and I keep saying, I'm like, I know it sucks. I know, but you will want these days back. So I said, just, you're going to get tired and frustrated but just try to enjoy it and be present as much as you possibly can.
You're in the trenches right now, right? Just keep fighting. Yeah, I mean, it happens fast, man. I mean, we moved our kiddo around a couple of times. Yeah. He was a trooper about that stuff. And, you know, now you're just kind of at the end of that road.
Well, yeah, when he moves out, that's when I'll start my Etsy store. That's promise. AJ's Etsy store.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast.